This is Stories from the Red Zone and Gear Review. And you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast.
And I was running late, and it was a whole series of events that kind of that screwed me completely over.
So I get tucked in these trees, and this storm blows in, and just ba-boom, ba-boom, you know, it's just going all around me. Claps of lightning.
Like eight bears coming to it, even after Adam shot his.
It's 31 yards from where I sit. That damn buck walked through that trail cam and gave me the bird.
After that, it just went downhill fast. I was wore out from getting in there, and I was seeing bucks, and I just couldn't get to them. My mind wasn't right. My body was telling me, no way. My mind wanted to get there, but my body was saying no.
We throw out one bugle and hear five bulls bugle all around us in different areas. So we're just like, oh my gosh.
I look up and here's these five bulls staring at me like 150 yards away up in this little opening. And I'm like, oh man, just screwed this up.
Now.
Let's.
Get.
Into.
The show! In this Stories from the Red Zone, Justin Davis shares the unforgettable adventure of a 200 and some odd inch giant mule deer. As for the gear review, I review the Sitka Gear Kelvin Active Jacket. I hope that you enjoy the show.
Found this buck in a unit that I typically don't see giant bucks in, and which brings me back to you never know where you'll find a big buck. But so we see this buck, and he looks pretty wide, but I'm thinking he's maybe like 29 inches wide, 30 inches wide, maybe, you know, wide buck. He's got a couple kickers on him. He's got some cool character to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's hanging out with like 15 other bucks.
Oh man, that makes it tough.
And it seems like normally when you find a big mature buck, he's only with a couple other bucks or by himself. He doesn't want to be hanging out with a huge group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's hanging out in this basin with like 15 other bucks. So, and he's in a place that was fairly easy access. So I'm thinking, opening morning, there's going to be other hunters there, and if there isn't other hunters that don't screw it up, he's going to bed with all his buddies, and it's going to be hard to even get close to him because of all those eyes, you know?
Yeah.
So the night before, he's in that basin with all those bucks, and opening morning comes, and the large group of bucks is in that basin still. And I'm looking at him trying to find the buck, and I glance over to my left for some reason and I pan over with my binoculars on this other mountain, and I see this big buck running across the skyline, and I'm like, oh, look at this buck. And I get a closer look, at him, and it's the buck that I was targeting. I'm like, whoa, he left his buddies. So during the night, he left his little protection of buddies, and I don't know why he left, but he went off by himself, which couldn't have worked out any better for me.
Mm-hmm. And so, heck yeah.
And I don't know what the deal was. I don't know what but he's acting all nervous, and I was watching him through a spotting scope, and he's just acting all squirrely, like he knows he's being hunted or something weird. I don't know what he was doing, but I watched him. He was kind of heading down towards this big tree line, and I thought for sure he was going to go into the trees and disappear, you know? And
mm-hmm.
Partway, you know, before he got to the trees, he finally slowed up and he started feeding. And I was like, oh, it's working out better than I thought. And he fed around, and then he bedded down, and I watched him. And it seems like bucks, they'll bed down, you know, and then about 11 o'clock, mid-morning, they'll get up and change beds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this
go to that secondary bed.
Yeah, go to that secondary bed. But this sucker bedded down and got up like three or four different times.
Man.
And he's just,
I bet that had you on pins and needles.
Yeah, so I'm just sitting there, I'm like, what are you doing? And he's acting all squirrely, and then finally he goes into this thicket, and I was like, okay, I think he'll be down for a few hours. You know, he'll stay in there in his, that, like, those short stunted trees that are up above timberline, you know? Mm-hmm. It was fairly big, and I couldn't tell where he was. I just knew he went in there, so I made a stalk all the way around a mountain and came down above him, and the wind was kind of squirrely, but it worked out, and I got 40 yards from where he went into that thicket, and I sat there for 3 hours and just hoping he would come back out, and sure enough, he got up from his bed, and I saw a little movement, and he came out the same way he went in, and I shot him at 38 yards, and that was it.
Oh, my gosh. On opening day?
Yep, opening day. And it,
what the hell?
And he was a lot bigger than I actually thought, because his main frame was 31 inches wide, and his outside width with his little kickers was 35 inches.
With his little kickers? This is like a pretty big kicker if it adds 4 inches, Justin.
But it just worked out just like he planned, you know?
No, I don't know, because I've never had to work out like I planned.
I guess what you envision, you know, you envision them bedding and you stock it and then you shoot it, that's, you know, but normally, yeah. Normally doesn't work out like that. Something usually goes wrong.
Yeah. So when you first saw the deer going across that hillside, away from his buddies, because you kind of probably had to have had some sort of urge to, like, get up and move that direction. At least I know I would have. Like, there he goes. I need to get closer.
Yep.
So what was it that was just like, you know, keeping you nailed to your spot behind your glass?
Well, my only hope for getting him was if he would bed somewhere where I could stalk him, you know? Mm-hmm. Because of the way the terrain was, if he was on his feet, there would have been no way for me to get to him.
Gotcha.
Because of how open it was. It was up above timberline.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, the only thing I can do is sit and watch and hope he beds. And if he goes into those trees, then I'm screwed. But I just knew I had to be patient and just watch him. Hopefully he would bed and just try to keep tabs on him, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. With you know, sitting there for 3 hours, that is a long freaking time to sit there.
Yep. So, and the sun was brutal. So, I was getting sunburned, but I was...
You're just getting baked?
Yep.
Probably, huh?
Yep.
So with being there for 3 hours, did the wind ever do anything funky or change any directions at all, or did it kind of hold steady for you?
It was doing funky stuff to the point, and just I was sitting there knowing that any moment the wind was going to swirl and he would blow out of there, you know?
Oh, man.
Because that's normally how it goes, you know? So I'm like, I'm going to sit here for 3 hours and then the wind's going to switch and he's going to go out, blow out of there. But the wind was coming downhill from the top of the hill.
Okay.
The wind was blowing downhill, and I had to be kind of off to the side of the thicket so that he wouldn't wind me, you know?
Yep.
So my wind was going down, but then once in a while the wind would kind of push in the direction of where he was bedded. And so I'm like, oh, here it goes. He's going to blow out of there. But luckily somehow the wind stayed in my favor and it lasted that whole time.
That's awesome. So what kept you from, like, doing the old, how big was the tree thicket that he went into?
Well, it was probably, I'm trying to think. It was hard to, I couldn't see him, and I didn't know if he could get out the other side.
Okay.
And I was assuming that he would get out the other side, and I was afraid he was going to pop out the other side when he finally got up, you know? But it was probably like 40 feet by 40 feet maybe.
Okay, so just like one of those little patches.
Yeah, but the tree, there was a few tall trees to where I couldn't see the other side of him.
Interesting, so like, interesting. So what?
I couldn't
see. So that's why he didn't start throwing rocks.
Yep. Yeah, so I couldn't, if he came out the other side, I wouldn't even been able to see it until he got out in the open, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then I've never done the rock throwing thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it all the people that I know that shoot big deer consistently don't throw rocks.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the rock throwing because I've tried it a couple times and it usually doesn't work out for me.
There goes that deer.
Yep.
That rock must have been a lot closer than I meant for it to be.
Yep. But the funny thing is, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have no clue if he's going to come out the way he did, you know? But mm-hmm. I see a little flash of his antler and he stands up and I'm like, oh, here he comes. And he walked a little bit and then he ducked his head down and peeked up through some branches at me. And he was just kind of looking up the hill and I was like, oh, crap.
Did you almost crap your pants?
Yeah, so I'm standing there. I think when I saw the horn flash, I stood up. But he just happened to look up the hill just like looking, being cautious mule deer, you know?
Yeah, at the same time.
But he looks right at me, but I was holding dead still, and he didn't see me. So he takes a couple more steps, and that's when he came into a clearing, and I was able to shoot him. But the funny thing is he was like 37 or 38 yards away, and I shot. And normally, majority of the animals I've arrowed over the years, I either hear the arrow hit or I see the arrow hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I shoot him. And it's like complete silence, like I missed him.
Oh no.
And so I shoot and I just see him turn his head, and you know, mule deer always look even bigger when they're going away, you know?
Oh yeah.
So here's this 35-inch buck turning away and running down the hill from me, and I'm like, oh crap, I just missed a huge buck. But I went down the hill and he was dead and I hit him perfect. But I, for some reason, I didn't even hear the arrow or see it. It just looked like I missed. I was like, oh crap, I just missed him.
So did you already have the spot where you had watched him walk in? Did you already have that the range on that?
Well, I kind of could see where he was, where he went in. So I sat there and I ranged it, and I think what I was ranging was like 40 yards.
Gotcha.
And when he was coming out, I was ranging the stick, which was 40 yards, but he was a few yards in front of it.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense. So.
Yep.
But it was kind of funny.
Cool.
Because he turns away and
so like, oh. What was it like? What was it like walking up to that deer?
It was surprising because I had ground growage. Because when I was looking at him when he was alive, I was like, oh, he's a cool buck. He's got character. But I didn't think he was actually as big as he was. So he definitely grew on me when I walked up on him. I was like, oh, he's a lot wider than I thought.
Yeah. I think when you look at a deer and you're like, oh yeah, that's a solid 180 to 190 inch deer, and then you shoot it and you walk up and he's like, what was he, 220, 230?
He was big.
And yeah, I can imagine that. You're like, yeah, ground growage. that actually happened to me on a whitetail one year. I shoot this thing, I had like 3 or 4 days to get this done, and here comes this buck. I thought it was 130 inch whitetail.
Yep.
I shoot it. I miss. I knock another arrow. Good thing he was dogging a doe. Because I'm dyslexic.
Yep.
So I shoot, and I ranged it for 34 yards. So I moved my sight to 43.
Yep.
And I shot right over him, obviously.
Yep.
You know, 10-yard difference. Uh-huh. So he goes running out there, following this doe. I move like 15 yards, and I shot him at 60. Like, that's pretty hard to get wrong.
Yep.
and just drill him. And I go walking up there, and he has kickers and both of his eye guards are split. He ended up going over 170.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
So it was the exact same thing where you're like, yes, I just shot a great buck. And you get up there and you're like, holy crap, I just shot a giant buck.
Yep.
Way cool, man.
And I forgot at the – this was kind of funny because it could have gone bad, but when I was originally watching him when he bedded down before the stalk began, the wind was going like – was going right to left on the hillside.
Uh-huh.
So my plan was to circle around and get above him, and I was going to come straight down to the thicket.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't know – it was so hard to see him from where I was at. I couldn't – I just was going to get above that and just kind of wait it out and see if he came out, you know. And I go to circle around and I get up on top and the wind is like ripping in the direction of him going down the hill. And so I'm on the backside of this hill and I'm pretty far distance from him. So I didn't think it was going to be an issue, but I was still paranoid that he was going to smell me, you know?
Oh yeah.
And I'm on,
yeah, especially when it's ripping like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I'm on the backside of the hill and the wind's blowing not the way it originally was when I was down below, and there's this scree field, so I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna hurry along and try to get the wind right. So I'm like running across the scree field as fast as I can, and I'm just I knew any minute I was gonna trip and just yard sail. But somehow I managed not to fall, and I hurried across there, and he never smelled me, so that was good.
That is good. That's way good.
So instead of dropping down, I had to kind of circle around and come at the side of him instead of coming straight down above him.
Gotcha. That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Cool. Well, thanks for sharing that story. That was a good story. I appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that thing's a tank,
dude. Yeah, thanks.
It's huge. Yeah. Yeah, I bet you were super excited when you walked up to it.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, everything worked out good. Yeah, and then he took a tumble down the hillside, you know, because it was on a fairly steep hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tear up his velvet or anything, so the whole thing worked out crazy.
That's awesome.
Yep, just crazy that he left his buddies.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And I
wonder what the heck happened that made him do that.
I don't know. It was weird. I don't know what happened, but it worked out great. And then I was super paranoid because last year, I had this in my mind the whole time I was watching him. Last year, I went hunting down by Durango.
Yeah.
And I found this big buck, like, same caliber as this one. And I found him in this basin, and it was a couple days before the archery season, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to just sit on him. And there was a trail that went to the basin, and I knew someone was going to show up. You know, I'm like, this is too good to be true. This spot's too easy to get to. Someone's going to show up. And the night before, so I was camped around the hill so that no scent would get into that basin, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the night before the season opened, here comes this hunter, and he comes walking past me. And I stopped him, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? You hunting elk or deer? And he's like, oh, I'm hunting both. And I was like, oh, well, I'm watching this deer over here. I want to go after it in the morning. And he's like, oh, I've seen that deer before. I'm going to go after it too or something. And I was like, oh.
What a jerk.
Yeah, so he walks past me and camps like halfway in between my camp and where the buck was.
What?
And so I was like, okay, so it is what it is. So opening morning, I get up, I hike up the trail before it's light, and I come by this guy's camp, and he's camped right off the trail. And his dad, I think, showed up too. So him and his dad are there, and they come up to me, and they're like, what's your plan? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to hike out here and just, you know, glass this basin. And he's like, okay. And so I go and sit on this little knob, and those guys come and sit like right by me. And I'm just like, why, you know? So we see that big buck, and he's in this basin, and he's with like one other buck and a doe, and he beds in a bad spot where like you couldn't stalk him, you know? And then we had all this snow and fog roll in, so you couldn't even get close to him. So I'm like, oh, I'll try again tomorrow. So the next morning, I come hiking back by this guy and his dad that are camped by the trail. And they're sitting like way down below their tent, like looking, they're kind of like looking lower in the drainage. And he tells me, he's like, oh, last night that big buck, he fed down the bait. Down the drainage, he's way down in the basin, so we're gonna glass from here and hunt here. And I'm thinking, perfect, because these guys will stay down there and I'll go up to where I was before, you know. So I'm like, perfect, all right, yeah, don't be by me today, you know. So I hike up further and I start to glass the head of the basin. And I put my binoculars on my tripod, and literally the first deer I see is that big buck. And I'm like,
you lying sons of bitches.
Yep. I'm like, oh, perfect, you guys are down there and I'm right here. I thought, you know, like, perfect, this is working out great. And then I hear some rustling behind me, and I look behind me, and those cocksuckers are sitting right behind me, glassing over my shoulder.
No way.
They're sitting like 20 feet above me looking at what I'm looking at. And then they're like, oh, we saw the buck first. We saw him first from down there. And it was super awkward. I was like, this is not how I wanted my hunt to go, you know?
No kidding.
And so they tried to say they saw it first. So I shouldn't have been as nice, but I was nice. So I'm like, all right, well, you can have the stock. So this guy tried to stalk it, and then he blew it out of the basin, and that was it.
Well, at least you got to watch him mess it all up, and you know they didn't.
Yep. That story was this year when I was looking at this buck. I was just dreading. I was like, oh, no, I hope someone doesn't show up and the same thing happens, you know?
No kidding. Yeah, I mean, you find a deer that big, it's almost weird to think that you're, especially with how many people are hunting nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's always there in the back of your mind that you're like, somebody else has got to know where this deer is.
Yeah. In Colorado lately, it seems crazy. It's like so many people are flooding into Colorado lately. It's like there's people everywhere, it seems like.
Right.
Yep.
Right. I think there's like unwritten rules, you know?
Yeah.
That you just try and be courteous.
Yeah.
You definitely, like, I don't know. I wouldn't feel right about doing that to somebody anyways.
Yeah. and those jackasses were, you know, it's like, they supposedly saw the buck that summer, which they probably did, you know?
Yeah.
But me personally, if I showed up and someone was already hunting a deer and like they're watching it, I would just go somewhere else, you know, but.
Yeah, and I might be like, hey, man, oh, that's a great buck. I wish you luck. Like, I'm gonna go over to this other spot over here.
Yeah. Don't
bother you. You know, something like, shit, not, hey, let me go camp 30 yards from your camp, and then I'll follow you around where you glass, because you're definitely better at it than I am.
that's pretty much what it felt like was happening.
You're like guiding them and not getting paid. Yep. That's bullshit.
And I should have known better. I should have just right away went somewhere else. But I was like, man, that's too good of a buck just to leave, you know? But it was.
I do know.
It was definitely awkward, and I was too nice of a guy. Probably I shouldn't have been so nice. I should have just been like, nope, I get the stock, and I'm. And I should have, you know.
I'm going. See ya.
I was nice, so, but maybe it worked out.
Yeah, who knows?
It was karma for this year's buck, maybe.
There you go. So let's hear this mountain lion story.
All right, so the mountain lion story is, ever since high school, I've bow hunted only, and I don't ever want to shoot anything with a gun. And I went, so my wife is pregnant, okay? And it's like a day or two before the due date, and we get a snow, and my friend that has the dogs is like, hey, you want to go mountain lion hunting? And my wife, being the amazing wife she is, she's like, oh yeah, just go ahead, that's fine. I'm like, all right. And a lot of these mountain lion hunts, a lot of times I'll go with him, me not actually hunting. I just like to go along and help out with the dogs and hike, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they take all day long. Like, you'll start really.
Hello? How does that happen?
Oh, is it back?
Oh, there you are.
All right, so we cut these tracks, let the dogs loose, and they run like a couple hundred yards, and they're up in this rock pile, and they're barking like they have the cat treed, and we're like, oh, that can't be. That's too easy. Like, no way. They only went that far. And mm-hmm. we go up there, and it's like a boulder field, and there's a big crevice underneath, and sure enough, the cat is down there. And he's like,
oh, man.
He's like 2 feet from your legs, you know? And you could, and so I have my bow with me, and there's like this 3-inch crack in the rock that you can see the cat. And the shot to where the cat is isn't very far, but I draw my bow, and it's like the sight is blocked up by a rock. You can't see your sight. And you can't really aim down your arrow shaft with a compound, you know, like you can't, like a traditional bow or something.
Right? So, it's a little tough.
So I'm like, oh, this is awkward. Like, I have no, you know. So I think I get it right, and I shoot, and I see sparks fly, and the dogs start going crazy, and I ended up just like, I think my arrow nicked a rock going through the little crack, you know. And the mountain lions got wounded a little bit by this arrow, because there's some blood, but it wasn't a good shot. And mm-hmm. he bails out of that crevice, and the dogs chase him. And so we go around this mountain, and then there's this like rock wall, and there's this little hole, and the dogs are barking, and they're going in that hole. And so we're like, oh man, he's in there. So my buddy hands me his pistol, and he's like, well, if you want to go in there, I think he's in there. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I took some like toilet paper and put it in my ears, because I'm like, if I get a shot, it's going to be really loud. And I take a flashlight and I crawl in there, and it was so tight, like I literally thought my shoulder, like I was going to get stuck in there, you know?
Dude.
And so yeah. I'm crawling in there, and the whole time I'm like belly crawling in there, and I can barely fit in there, and I can hear the cat growling at me. Like, I know he's in there. And I'm waiting for him.
I'd be crapping my
pants. Yeah, so I'm waiting for him. I'm like, oh man, I don't even know where he is. And then I crawl in there, and I come to like a T, and I can hear him growling, but I don't know if he's on my right or my left. And
oh, crap.
I don't know which way he is. So I get my flashlight and I shine it to the left first, and he's right there just facing me like a couple feet away. And I shot him right in the face with the pistol.
Holy crap, man. That's nuts.
And the whole time I was thinking, like, if I don't kill him, he's going to try to get out of this cave, and he's just going to, like, shred me getting out, you know, because I'm blocking the whole hole. Like, there's no getting out. So, like, I'm going to get shredded.
There's no getting out unless you go literally through me.
Yep. So I'm just picturing, like, after I shoot him, he's just going to come, like, flying through me. But he died instantly, which was – that worked out good.
Heck yeah.
So that,
heck yeah, that's a huge plus.
And then so the hunt was short, like we were over, it was quick, you know, like it was a kind of rare, it was over that fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the cat out of there and get back to our truck and drive home, and we get home and my wife is going into labor. So I
that is some good timing.
Yep. So I literally like drive home. My wife waddles out, gets in the car, and we haul ass down to Denver. I still have mountain lion blood on my hands. and we go, and my daughter is born right then. And
holy smokes, man, you're not kidding. Your wife is the same.
Yep. So that was the story. It was a pretty good day.
I got one pretty good too. She lets me hunt way more than I should, so that's a huge plus.
Yep.
Well, awesome, man. Well, it was a blast getting to know you and talking with you.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to, you know, like I said, either you come here and hunt your antelope or whatever, or I come there and hunt with you, or I come film something for you, whatever. Yeah. I don't really care, but it'd be fun to get together and do something.
Yeah, like sounds that. Good for sure.
That concludes this week's segment of Stories from the Red Zone. I hope you got a few laughs and maybe learned some things to do and some things definitely not to do. Now, let's check out this week's gear review.
You know, I'm impressed with this Kafaru. 150 plus pounds, this thing can handle whatever I throw at it. These Under Armour fat tires are so comfortable, but it's only been 6 months and they've already got holes. I just can't get them to hold up for me. This Valkyrie broadhead delivery system hits so hard. Pass-throughs are now expected. I gotta say it, this Sitka gear is the only camo that has lasted me longer than a year. And once again, this damn binocular harness has rotated around, putting all the pressure on the base of my neck. This S4 gear lockdown sucks. Just like that, it was broke and I was pissed. I'm not here to tear any companies down, but to simply tell the truth, because my life and my hunt depend on my gear to perform. So with that, enjoy your no holds barred, non-scripted, no bullshit gear review.
Now,
let's
get
into
the show!
How's it going, guys? Zach Harold here with Archery Maniacs, and I have a gear review for you. Today, I am reviewing the Sitka Active Kelvin Jacket, obviously from Sitka. The jacket, I had really, really high hopes for this jacket, purely because I just had the wrong impression. So, when I was thinking Sitka Kelvin Active Jacket, I am thinking, yes, something that is more lightweight than my Kelvin light hoodie and going to be just as warm. That's not the case. This jacket is just not intended for that use, and it is definitely not as warm as the Sitka Kelvin light hoodie. However, this jacket has its own use, specific use, and there are plenty of times a years that this jacket is going to be beneficial for you to have in your gear bag. So some of the things that I noticed right off the bat, the jacket, the side pockets down here are not zippered, which bothers me because sometimes I put keys or whatever else in there, and I just like having it zippered so that I don't have the unfortunate event of losing my keys or whatever else I've zipped in there. It does have a chest pocket, which is big enough to fit your cell phone. As you can see, just put my cell phone in there, which is great. The inside of the jacket has a mesh, kind of a mesh here on your back, as well as your pit area, And then it's got a little bit different fabric that wraps around and sits over your stomach. The jacket does not block wind whatsoever, so don't think that you're going to use this to block the wind. What the jacket's intended use for is that if you are walking around, instead of wearing something like the Kelvin Light hoodie that doesn't breathe at all, this is meant to walk around and sweat in. And then once you get stopped, you take it off and you put like your Sitka Light hoodie on or whatever else. But this is meant, thus the name, the Kelvin Active Jacket. This is meant to be doing your active things in. And it is a little bit warmer than like the little hoodies and things like that that Sitka offers. But it is not as warm as a Sitka Kelvin Active, and it breathes better. So when you're being very active and things like that, or the Sitka Kelvin Light, sorry, it breathes better than the Sitka Kelvin Light. So as you're backpacking, hiking up the hill, whatever else, this is a great option. The jacket also has the draw cords around the waist section. It is lined with the Polar Tech. And extremely, extremely quiet. It packs down to next to nothing. There you see it next to my coffee mug once again. As same size as my coffee mug, roughly. So that's all a plus. You can get the product from the manufacturer for $289, and it was the same on Amazon, $289. One thing that's really cool about the product is that it comes with the Polygene odor control technology. What that allows you to do is it's basically helping break up the smell of your sweat and everything along those lines so that you can wear it longer when you're out in the field, sweat in it more without it being as stinky as some of your other things of camo, which then in turn allows you to wash it less. And it helps your clothes live longer, basically, you know, because the less you have to wash something, the longer that's going to last you. So some of my likes is it is extremely, extremely light. That is huge. Another thing that I really like is, as you can see right here, this elastic cuff. I like how that fits and feels around my wrist because it mitigates wind getting blown back up my sleeve. I love the chest pocket on all of Sitka jackets because I've used some other jackets that the pocket isn't big enough to fit a GPS or a cell phone or something like that, and it's really annoying. Another great plus of mine is that it works really well as an under jacket. Because it is made to draw your sweat and wick your sweat away, it works great for an under jacket. Some of the product dislikes is that it does not have a hood. That bothers me in a jacket that is meant to keep you warm. I think having a hood really helps with regulating the body heat, especially on a really windy day or something like that. I don't like that the side pockets don't have zippers, you know, and I don't like that it's not warm enough to not carry something else like the Kelvin Light hoodie unless you're hunting, you know, an August hunt or something along those lines. This, you know, I've gone in August above tree line and I wore this paired with my mountain jacket to stop the wind. And I was great until I, you know, sat still and started glassing for a while, and then I froze my balls off. So it's just not quite warm enough to be a standalone jacket. Now, if you're going somewhere where it's going to be 80, 90 degrees, this would work in place of a Kelvin Active jacket. And one of the things that I don't like is I don't see a use for this jacket if I own a Kelvin Light hoodie. The Kelvin Light hoodie is by far my favorite jacket, go-to jacket. That thing is absolutely incredible. And the only time I could ever see replacing that jacket with this is if I know for sure that I'm going to go hunt where it's 70, 80, 90 degrees. Then this would be just fine. But other than that, I'm going to take my Kelvin Light hoodie and one of my Sitka sweatshirts. And when I'm up hiking around, I'm just going to wear the Sitka sweatshirt. And when I stop, I'm going to throw on the Kelvin light hoodie to do my glassing. So there you have it, the Kelvin active jacket from Sitka in the Subalpine. Thanks, guys, for checking out this gear review. I hope it helps you stay informed.
Thank you for tuning into the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously, though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, one star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lambers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.